Today, we'll be hearing about the glories of Sri Nityananda Ram, limitless glories. We're just going to take a drop from the ocean. And for some reason, I was inspired to explore him as the Prem Ashraya. And also because he understood the heart of Mahaprabhu's mission and culture so well, the heart of it, the very heart of it. I thought to also speak on the heart of Mahaprabhu's mission in relation to Nityananda. And that we're talking about Namruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivdaya. So these three things. So we'll start with his Supreme Ashraya. By Vrindavan Das Thakur's mercy, we can catch a glimpse of what this means. We'll read a little bit about it. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 3. Very little. It's very beautiful. Here, Nimaya is speaking. It appears to me that some great personality has arrived here. I have already previously informed you that we will soon meet a great personality. Oh, Haridas, or Srivas, go immediately and see who has come. On the order of the Lord, the two Mahabhagavats happily searched throughout Navadvipa. While searching in this way, they confided to each other. It seems Lord Sankarshan has come. Overwhelmed in ecstasy, the two looked everywhere, but were unable to get any indication of where he was. They looked all over Nadia for 9 hours without finding anyone, and then returned to Mahaprabhu. The two informed the Lord, "We've not found anyone new. We've searched the residences of the Vaishnavas, Sannyasis, Grihasas. We even went to the houses of the atheists. We looked all over Navadvipa, but we didn't go outside the town." Gaurachandra smiled as he heard their report. By this pastime, he revealed that Nityananda is most confidential. Devotees like Shiva certainly know the truth regarding Nityananda, but for some curious reason, they could not find him. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains the curious reason. There are many mysteries in the pastime of unsuccessfully searching for Sri Nityananda Prabhu, exhibited by the eternally perfect associates of the Lord like Srivas Pandit. Baladev Prabhu hid himself and did not show his form to Haridas and Srivas Pandit. He thereby showed that the eternal absolute truth cannot be seen through external practice or designation. So this is the lesson. After a while, the Lord smiled and said, "Everyone come and see him with me." All the devotees happily went with the Lord while chanting, "Jai Krishna." Sri Gaurachandra led all the devotees to the house of Nandanacharya. Sitting there was a great jewel-like personality. Everyone saw that his effulgence was like that of millions of suns. No one could understand his internal mood. He was absorbed in happiness from his meditation and continually smiled. Unless one sees Nityananda Prabhu with service-inclined eyes, one will never understand his mood. Externally, he was constantly smiling, and internally, he was always absorbed in the happiness of Sri Chaitanya's service. Understanding his pure devotional mood, Vishvamba and the devotees offered him obeisances. Everyone there stood watching him in awe and reverence without speaking a word. Mahaprabhu stood directly in front of Nityananda, who immediately recognized his Lord. Nityananda became stunned in ecstasy as he stared at the beautiful form of Vishvamba. He appeared to be licking that beautiful form with his tongue, drinking it with his eyes, embracing it with his arms, and smelling it with his nose. In this way, Nityananda became stunned. He neither spoke nor did anything. Everyone there was astonished. Lord Gauranga, the life and soul of all, then desired to show some way of revealing the identity of Nityananda. The Lord indicated by a sign that Shiva should recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Understanding the Lord's gesture, Shiva's pundit immediately recited a verse in glorification of Krishna's characteristics. From Bhagavatam. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, Lukanikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaidyanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. As soon as Nityananda heard this verse, he fell unconscious. As Lord Nityananda lost consciousness in ecstasy, Gauranga instructed Srivast to continue reciting. Hearing verses for some time, Nityananda regained his consciousness and began to cry. You really have to hear this stuff with your heart, because, you know, we can't even relate to this kind of consciousness. We're so dull. So you really have to try and capture something of it with your heart, because it's just so amazing, this kind of exchange between the real devotees. Hearing the verses for some time, Nityananda regained his consciousness and began to cry. His madness increased as he heard the continual recitation of verses. He roared so loudly the sound pierced the universe. He suddenly jumped in the air and fell forcibly to the ground. Everyone there thought that his bones were smashed. What to speak of others, even the Vaishnavas were frightened. They prayed, "Oh Krishna, please protect him." As the Lord rolled on the ground, his entire body became wet with tears of love. He sighed deeply while looking at the face of this Rumba. His heart was full of ecstasy, and he repeatedly laughed loudly. One moment he danced, one moment he bowed down, one moment he clapped his hands, and one moment he jumped high and very wonderfully. Seeing his amazing ecstatic madness and love of Krishna, Gaurasunda and all the Vaishnavas began to cry. Nityananda's happiness constantly increased. Although they tried to hold him still, they were unable. When all the Vaishnavas failed to hold him still, Vishvamba personally took him on his lap. As soon as Nityananda was taken on the Lord's lap, he surrendered his life to his Lord and became motionless. Nityananda surrendered his life to whom it belonged and remained inert in the Lord's lap. After some time, Nityananda regained his external consciousness, and all the devotees chanted the name of Hari. As Nityananda and Gauranga gazed at each other, they did not speak a word as tears flowed from their eyes. They were both filled with happiness on seeing each other. The earth became flooded with their tears. Vishvamba said, "Today is an auspicious day for me, for I have seen that devotional service which is the essence of the four Vedas. I understand, Nitai, that you are the full power of Godhead. Only by worshipping you can a living entity attain devotional service to Krishna. You are able to purify the 14 worlds. Your confidential characteristics are inconceivable and unfathomable. Who is qualified to recognize you? You are the personified wealth of Krishna Prem. If a person associates with you for even a moment, he will be delivered even if he's committed millions of sinful activities. I have understood that Krishna will deliver me because he's given me your association. Out of great fortune, I have seen your lotus feet. Just by worshipping you, I will achieve the wealth of Krishna Prem." Lord Gauranga was fully absorbed as he incessantly offered prayers to Nityananda. Such an amazing meeting. Just giving a little bit of an idea of why he's known as the Prema Shraya. And I wanted to explore this a little further, look at the general behavior of such a person. And I wanted to begin this by starting to read from, again, Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Mahaprabhu instructs him to go back to Bengal and to preach. So this is from Antia 5. One day, Sri Gaurasunda, the Supreme Lord, in the form of a human being, sat down with Nityananda in a solitary place. The Lord said, "Listen, O magnanimous Nityananda, go quickly to Navadvipa. I have personally promised to inundate the fools, the fallen, and the poor in the happiness of ecstatic love. If you also remain here with me and renounce your magnanimous nature, then tell me, who will deliver the fools and the wretched souls who have fallen into material life? You are the distributor of the mellows of devotional service. If you hide them, then what is the use of your incarnation in this world? Now, if you wish to fulfill my promise, you should go to Bengal without delay. Deliver the foolish, wretched, fallen, and distressed persons by giving them devotional service." Having received the Lord's order, Sri Nityananda Chandra immediately left for Godadesh. Nityananda Swarup was accompanied by his intimate associates, such as Ramdas, Gadadadas Mahasai, Raghunath Vaidya, who was filled with the mellows of devotional service, Krishnadas Pandit, Rameshwari Das, and the most jubilant Purandara Pandit. So it's interesting that he's not traveling alone and preaching. Mahaprabhu hasn't sent him alone, he's sent him with a team. And I don't know whether you have an experience of traveling, preaching. You probably have. But with that, you know, it's very organized. You have to work out, you have to know your roadmap, you have to know which villages where. You have to have a pretty good idea of what you're doing. But Nityananda's team is very unconventional. It's not based on the usual standard format for traveling. So I thought what we'd do first is just have a little look at some of the people in his team. Because not only are we looking at, you know, he's got a great personality, then you're going to have people around him that are also quite amazing people. So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 11. And here it says, this gives a little bit of a general idea first of the nature of these devotees. All the associates of Lord Nityananda were formerly cowherd boys in Brajabhumi. Their symbolic representations were the horns and sticks they carried, the cowherd dress, and the peacock plumes on their heads. So Ramdas, we'll have a look at Ramdas first. Later he became known as Abhiram Das. Very amazing person. He was full of Sakyabhav. And he was one of the 12 gopas that came, descended with Balarama's Nityananda to this world. He was formerly Sridhar. And in the Bhakti-ratnika, fourth chapter, there's a description of Abhiram Thakur. By the order of Nityananda Prabhu, he became a great acharya and preacher of the Chaitanya cult of devotional service. He was a very powerful personality, and non-devotees were very, very much afraid of him. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu himself, he was always in ecstasy and was extremely kind amongst all fallen souls. He was very kind to them. It is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than the Shalagam Shila, it would immediately fracture. And he would carry a whip, and with that whip, he'd touch the bodies of the devotees. And that devotee would be immediately overcome with Krishna prema. Pretty amazing style of preaching. I walk around with a whip, and hit people, and they become full of. One of his most well-known disciples was Srinivas Acharya. So Raghunath Vaidya, he was also an amazing person. He was a physician, and he was so exalted that simply by seeing him, if he glanced on you, you'd get Krishna prema. Raghunath Vaidya. So, I mean, you know, if I look at you, so with this one, he looks at you, you get Krishna prem. So that's pretty amazing. And then there's another very special personality called Sundarananda. He was Nityananda's most intimate servant. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu perceived the life of Brajbhumi in his company. It says that he was so surrendered to Nityananda that Nityananda personally manifested in his deity. So when he was performing his worship, he was actually worshipping Nityananda Prabhu directly. Pretty amazing personality. And Chaitanya Bhagavat tells us that he was an ocean of love of Godhead and the chief associate of Nityananda Prabhu. He was Sudham in Krishna Leela. He was one of the 12 boys that came down with Balaram also when he descended with Nityananda. So he was also a very, very amazing person. And Parameshwar Das, he is extremely merciful because just by remembering his name, you advance in Krishna consciousness.
Wow.
Amazing. He's the fifth of the Gopals of Krishna Leela, completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Nityananda. And Krishna Das Kaviraj tells him, anyone who remembers his name, Parameshwar Das, will get love of Krishna very easily. So he was the life and soul of Nityananda Prabhu, and his body was the place of Nityananda's pastimes. He was formerly Arjun in Krishna Leela. So he's also very special. And then Nityananda had three very famous kirtaniers in his traveling team. Madhav and Vasudev and Govinda Ghosh. They're his main kirtaniers. And they were known as the kirtaniers of Vrindavan. And because of the sweetness of their kirtan, and Nityananda, his favorite kirtans were Vrindavan kirtans. From his childhood, he was absorbed in Krishna Leela. So his kirtans, he liked the Braj Leela kirtans. And these three, they were personal expansions of Srimati Radharani, of the Ashraya Vigraha, of Madhura Rasa and Braj. They're personal expansions of Radharani. So she was she is a very amazing musician. So you can imagine how incredible their kirtans must have been. So this is just to give you some idea of the nature of these very, very, very special people.
Are they all from Navadvip?
Different places, born in different places, but they all came to Navadvip and then went to Puri, and then Mahaprabhu instructed. He instructed Ramdas and Garada, they were in Navadvip at the time. He specifically instructed them to come back, but he named 12 that he wanted to be part of his team. And they were the 12 brothers of Braj Leela.
But it's not that
Gadadhar
who worships
Gopakul. No, that's another one. He's a very special person also. So in conclusion, Krishna Das Kaviraj tells us, all these devotees of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, being full of ripened fruits of love of Krishna, distributed these fruits to all they met, flooding them with love of Krishna. All these devotees had unlimited strength to deliver unobstructed, unceasing Krishna Prem. How's that? Pretty powerful preacher. Unobstructed, unceasing Krishna Prem. By their own strength, they could offer anyone Krishna and Krishna Prem. Oh, I'm waiting for that party to come through. Pretty amazing. So, very unique and unconventional party. I think what we'll do now is we'll join Nityananda and his associates for their journey to Bengal. Again, we'll be reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Andhya 5. And very, very special journey. Now, when you think of the usual mentality of people who are out on traveling Sankirtan, you know, they have everything together, where we take our prasadam, where we distribute, you know, everything's organized, got it down, right? Now you have a listen to what this seems like. It's a little bit different. As they began their journey, Lord Nityananda first bestowed ecstatic love on all of his associates. As a result, they completely forgot themselves. There was no end to the ecstatic symptoms that manifest in their bodies. The topmost Vaishnav, Ramdas, was the first to manifest the mood of a cowherd boy. Somewhere along the way, he forgot the external world and stood for almost an hour in threefold bending form. Gadadhar Das became absorbed in the mood of Radhika, and he continually laughed and said, "Who buy my yogurt? Who bought my yogurt?" The most magnanimous, Raghunath Vaija, became fully absorbed in the mood of Revati. Krishna Das and Parameshwara Das would always raise a loud uproar in the mood of cowherd boys. In this way, Nityananda, the origin of Ananta, aroused all the devotees' transcendental sentiments. Within a half an hour, they would cover 4 to 8 miles. They didn't know whether they were going left or right. After some time, they would ask people, "Oh, brothers, please tell us, how can we reach the Ganges?" And the people would reply, "Oh, no, you've gone the wrong way. You've come 6 hours away from the proper path." After hearing their words, they would return to the right path, but in their ecstasy, they would again go in the wrong direction as before. Again, they would ask some people, who would reply, "The proper path, dear friends, is 20 miles to the left." They then laughed and went again towards the proper path. They were not even aware of their own bodies, what to speak of the road. They did not feel any bodily urges like hunger, thirst, fear, or distress, for they were all relishing transcendental happiness. Who can know or describe all the pastimes that Nityananda performed on the way? They were unlimited. In this way, Nityananda, the origin of Lord Ananta, came to the village of Panihari on the banks of the Ganges. Nityananda was filled with the mellows of ecstatic love, and now he began his auspicious task of delivering the entire world. So now we're moving into Jivdaya, and we're going to look at two leelas in this regard. One where he's dealing with innocent Jews, and one where he's dealing with offenders. Now the very interesting thing is that Nityananda himself, he's not discriminating. He's so absorbed in prem, his eyes are so covered with tears that whoever falls at his feet, he just is merciful. He's not discriminating. But his energies do. His energies discriminate. So we're going to have a look at the two leelas and just see the difference. They both get Nityananda's mercy. But the path of the offenders is a little bit tough. Just a little bit tough. So we'll have a look at this. So this is when he's in Panihati. And quite an amazing account given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Let's just have a look here. We're at 302. Okay. "Oh, brothers, hear about the power of Nityananda and how he distributed devotional service throughout the entire world. In whatever direction his lotus eyes glanced, there was a shower of ecstatic love that inundated everyone. Just as Lord Haladar held a club, Nityananda always held in his hand a beautiful iron rod that looked as if it was silver, and it was bound on two sides with gold. Nityananda enjoyed his own ecstatic mood as he sported in the company of his associates. He took his associates to the houses of various devotees. The most effulgent Nityananda visited each of the villages on both banks of the Ganges. All the living entities became astonished when they saw him. The most blissful Nityananda is the combined form of the holy name and the form of the Supreme Lord. Even the atheists who saw him offered him respects and considered offering everything to him. The body of Nityananda was most enchanting. He glanced mercifully on everyone. When he was eating, sleeping, or wandering about, he didn't waste a moment without sankirtan. Sri Nityananda Prabhu would always glorify the topics of Sri Gaurhari, even while eating, even while sleeping, even while traveling. He spoke only about topics of Krishna, nothing else. His every activity was accompanied by Hare Kirtan. Wherever he performed dancing and Krishna Kirtan, many people became overwhelmed with Krishna prem. Even the householder's children did not know anything. They didn't know anything, but they uprooted large trees. Little kids. They uprooted large trees. They roared loudly, uprooted trees, and ran around exclaiming, "I'm a cowherd boy!" Each
boy possessed such strength that even 100 people were unable to control him. You think you got problems? Even 100 people couldn't control him. The children would joyfully roar like lions and call out, "Oh, glorious to Sri Chaitanya! Oh, glorious to Nityananda!" In this way, Nityananda, the life and soul of all the children, overwhelmed these children with Krishna prem. For 1 month, those children did not eat anything. People became struck with wonder on seeing this. All the devotees became overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and Nityananda became the children's sole protector. The Lord would feed the children with his own hand, as if they were his own children. The men and women, in whatever direction Nityananda cast his love-filled glance, all floated in the mellows of Krishna prem. His glance was filled with so much mercy that everyone forgot their own bodies in the ecstasy of that glance. By Nityananda's mercy, anyone and everyone relished that devotion that the yogis and sages strive so hard to attain. If a person as strong as an elephant doesn't eat for 3 days, he won't be able to walk and his body will become weak. But each of those children had not eaten for a month, but still they behaved as strong as lions. Such was the potency that was manifested by Lord Nityananda. Yet by the influence of Lord Chaitanya's illusory energy, no one could understand. O brothers, just worship the lotus feet of Nityananda, by whose mercy one can attain the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Jaya Nityananda Ram! Jaya Nityananda Ram! Nityananda Ram! Jaya Nityananda Ram! So now they're going to have a look at how things work out for the assembly. A little bit of a different story, but also very interesting. Now listen to the topic of how Nityananda Prabhu delivered the dacoits. In Navadvip, there lived a particular Brahmin's son who had no equal among the dacoits and rogues. He was a leader of all other dacoits. That evil-minded person was a Brahmana in name only. He mercilessly killed others and always remained in the company of other dacoits. One time, he saw that Nityananda was decorated with divine necklaces and ornaments made of gold, coral, jewels, and pearls. On seeing the various valuable ornaments on the Lord's body, that dacoit decided to steal them. Wherever Nityananda went, that Brahmana stealthily followed him for the purpose of stealing his wealth. Nityananda, as a super soul in everyone's heart, knew the intentions of that wicked-minded Brahmin. In Navadvip, there lived a very wonderful Brahmin named Hiranya Pandit, who had no material assets. Nityananda left his associates and quietly resided in the house of that fortunate devotee. He had plans for the Brahmin who was a dacoit. The simple Brahmana was most wicked. He gathered the other dacoits and made a plan. "Oh, brothers, why are we still suffering? Why are we wasting our time? Goddess Chandi has provided for us a great treasure, and it's all in one place. The ornaments decorating the body of this avaduta are made of gold, pearls, and diamonds. I can't say how many thousands of rupees his ornaments are worth. And Goddess Chandi has brought them all together just for us. He lives alone now in the house of Hiranya. We can go there and take everything in a half an hour. Collect your swords and shields, for tonight we will raid that house." After making plans in this way, the dacoits waited for the night and then set out for the house. Equipped with swords, knives, and tridents, they gathered near the house where Nityananda was staying. Those dacoits all waited at one place while a spy went to check out the situation. Nityananda was taking his meal, and the devotees were chanting the name of Hari in the four directions. The servants of Nityananda were so intoxicated by Krishna prem that some of them roared like lions and others sounded like the clapping of thunder. Some cried in the mellows of ecstatic love, while others laughed loudly and clapped their hands. The spies returned and said to the leader of the dacoits, "The avaduta is taking his meal, and the others are all awake." The dacoit replied, "Let them eat and go to sleep. We'll just wait a while, and then we'll raid the house." All the dacoits sat under a tree, satisfied that they would soon plunder the avaduta's great wealth.
One of them said, I'll take his gold bracelets. Another said, I want his pearl necklace. Nobody else can have his pearl necklace. His pearl necklace is for me. Someone else said, I will take his pearls. One said, I will take his gold necklace. Someone said, I will take his silver anchor bells. In this way, they all dreamt about the wealth they thought they were going to get. By the will of Nityananda, at that time, the goddess of sleep cast her glance upon the dacoits, and the dacoits fell fast asleep, practically unconscious, in deep sleep. They were so bewildered by the Lord's potency that they didn't even wake up when the night had finished. It was only when the crows began to call out very loudly that dacoits woke up. They were unhappy to see that the night had already passed. But the sinful brahmana, who was the leader of the dacoits, said, whatever has happened has taken place by the will of Chandi. We lost only one night, but there will be another chance. So he's pretty determined. The next day, the dacoits took up various weapons. They dressed in dark blue cloth. They looked like brave heroes. In the dead of night, when everyone was asleep, the dacoits surrounded the house. As the dacoits came near the house, they saw that it was guarded by many soldiers. Those soldiers were armed. They surrounded the house on all four sides, and they constantly chanted the name of Hari. They had large, powerful bodies, and they looked most formidable, being equipped with various weapons. The dacoits could see that each of those soldiers was powerful enough to kill 100 of them. They all wore flower garments. Their bodies were smeared with sandalwood paste, and they continuously engaged in congregational chanting of the holy name. Nityananda Prabhu was sleeping as these soldiers chanted the name of Krishna in the four directions. On seeing the situation, the dacoits were struck with wonder. They went away from the house and sat down to one side. The dacoit leader said, this is obviously not the right time to attack. These soldiers, they're very strong. Maybe we should wait for a few days. So this will go home for now. Our brothers, we'll just wait a few days, maybe 10 days, and then we'll come back. After their leader spoke in this way, the dacoits all returned to their homes. Meanwhile, Avadhut Chandra continued to enjoy his pastime. But these sinful dacoits soon made another plan and gathered near the house where Nityananda Chandra was staying. By the arrangement of Providence, it was completely dark that night because of dense clouds. No other people were out that night. On that formidable night, each of the dacoits carried 5 to 10 weapons. As soon as they entered the courtyard of the house, they became completely blind. They weren't able to see anything. Those dacoits became so blind, they couldn't see a thing. Their life airs, their intelligence, their minds, everything became paralyzed. Some fell into a trench and were bitten by leeches, insects, and bees. Some fell into a pit where food remnants were thrown and suffered from the, and suffered from the bites of insects and scorpions. Some fell on thorns that pierced their entire bodies, so they were unable to move. Some fell into a hole, when their hands and legs were broken, they began to cry piteously. Some of the dacoits were afflicted with fever, but all of them became very frightened. At that time, the mischievous Indra sent a great hailstorm. First, the dacoits suffered from leeches and insects and all these wonderful things, and then the hail started falling. They were floating in an ocean of misery. And then a lightning bolt struck, and they forgot themselves in fear and became unconscious. Because of the heavy rain, the dacoits were completely soaked and began to shiver from the extreme cold. They were blind, unable to see anything, and now they suffered from the great rainstorm and cold. Realizing that it had come to trouble Nityananda, the angry Indra awarded him severe punishment. After some time, the brahmana leader of the dacoits suddenly had a pious thought by some good fortune. One day he bewildered us with sleep, yet we couldn't understand because of the influence of his illusory energy. Another day he showed us those most wonderful soldiers but still we did not come to our senses. This suffering is appropriate for simple persons like us, for we tried to plunder the Lord's wrath. So who can protect us from this great danger? I have no other shelter than Nityananda. After thinking in this way, the Brahman Dacoit leader meditated on and took complete shelter of the lotus feet of Nityananda. By meditating on his lotus feet, even one who has committed millions of offenses is immediately delivered from all difficulties. O Nityananda, please protect me. O Lord, you are the maintainer of all living entities. Please, please protect me. O Lord, please protect me from this calamity today. If I survive, I will remember this lesson. I won't forget this lesson. Birth after birth, you are my Lord, and I am your servant. Whether I live or die, I have no other desire. When the most merciful Nityananda Chandra heard these prayers, he delivered those dacoits. As soon as they thought like this, they regained their eyesight. By the influence of surrendering to Nityananda, they were also free from the distress caused by the rainstorm. Shortly thereafter, the dacoits found their way and returned home almost dead. However, the Brahman, a leader of the dacoits, came crying to the lotus feet of Nityananda. Nityananda, the Lord of the universe, was sitting casting his merciful glance on the fallen soul's presence. The devotees in the four directions were chanting the name of Hari, and the crest jeweler of the Avadhuts roared in ecstasy. At that time, the great dacoit leader arrived there, raised his arms and called out, "Please protect me," and offered his full obeisances at the feet of Nityananda. The hairs of his entire body stood on end, and he shed incessant tears while his body trembled. He constantly roared and thundered in ecstatic love. That Brahmana lost all external consciousness as he cried. While seeing the opulences of Nityananda, he began to dance in joy. He raised his arms and repeatedly called out, "O Nityananda, deliverer of the fallen souls, save me, save me." Someone said, "He must be playing a trick. This must just be a drama. Under this pretext, he'll probably raid the house later." Someone else said, "Nityananda is the deliverer of the fallen souls. By his mercy, maybe his heart has changed." On seeing the transformations of ecstatic love in that Brahman, Nityananda smiled and inquired from him. The Lord said, "Tell me, O Brahman, what kind of behavior is this? I see your behavior appears most wonderful. Did you see or hear or experience something that gave you realization of Krishna? Do not worry. Just tell me everything frankly." Hearing the Lord's words, the fortunate Brahmana could not speak, but continued to cry. He rolled on the ground throughout the courtyard. He spontaneously laughed, cried, danced, and sang. After some time, the Brahmana became pacified and began to speak to the Lord. "O Lord, I live here in Nadia. Although I am known as a Brahmana, my behavior is like that of a hunter or a dog-eater. The people of Navadvip tremble in fear when they see me. There is no sin that I have not committed. When I saw your body was decorated with such valuable ornaments, I desired to steal them, but you sabotaged all my evil plans." The Brahmana said, "O Lord, now let me go. It's not proper for me to keep this body any longer. Since I intended to harm you, my atonement should be to drown myself in the Ganges." On hearing the sincere words of the Brahmana, the Lord and the devotees became pleased. The Lord said, "O Brahmana, you are most fortunate. You are certainly Krishna's servant birth after birth. Otherwise, why would he bestow such mercy on you? Who other than a servant could understand my real opulences? Listen, O Brahmana, I will relieve you of whatever sins you have committed if you do not commit them again. Give up all violence to others, stealing, and other immoral activities. Do not do such things again. Lead a religious life and chant the name of Hari. Then you can also deliver others. You should gather all the rogues and dacoits together and induce them to lead religious lives." After speaking these words, Nityananda took the garland from his neck and happily placed it on that of the Brahmin. Everyone then chanted, "Jai, Jai!" In this way, the Brahmana was relieved from all material bondage. The Brahmana caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet, shed tears, and lamented with great humility. O Nityananda Prabhu, a deliverer of the fallen, please give this sinful person shelter at your lotus feet. Since I desire to harm you, what will be the fate of this sinful person? Nityananda Prabhu, the ocean of mercy, then placed his lotus feet on that Brahmin's head. Having received the Lord's lotus feet on his head, all of the Brahmin's offenses were nullified. By the influence of that Brahmin, all sorts of dacoits took shelter of Lord Chaitanya and led religious lives. They gave up thievery, violence to others, and immoral activities, and behaved like great saintly persons. They chanted Laksa, the name of Hari, every day, and they became expert in the devotional service of Krishna. They became intoxicated with love for Krishna and constantly chanted Krishna's name. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is such an ocean of mercy. Jai Nityananda Ram, Jai Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Jai Nityananda Ram. I also wanted to read you a little section of a very interesting article that was in the Harmonies in April 1932. It was entitled Sri Nityananda and Sri Gaurashankar. And it really brings out very clearly the relationship between the two of them and the importance of Nityananda's role in our lives as sadhakas. The worship of Sri Gaurashankar is attainable by all for the mere asking. But this asking disposition itself is a free gift of Sri Nityananda. In other words, you can't even desire to perform devotional service unless you have the mercy of Nityananda. That desire to do something devotional is a gift from Nityananda. That's pretty amazing. By this asking disposition itself is a free gift of Sri Nityananda. There is no cause for the grace of Nityananda. The causeless grace of Nityananda is the cause of the undeserved grace of Sri Gaurashankar. Those alone who doubt or are disposed to minimize the supreme quality of the grace of Nityananda are denied the worship of Sri Gaurashankar. Nityananda is the best beloved of Sri Gaurashankar. Nityananda is manifest form of Sri Gaurashankar. Nityananda is the accredited hawker of the supreme mercy of Sri Gaurashankar. Nityananda calls everyone to the service of Sri Gaurashankar. Those who do not respond to the call of Nityananda are doomed eternally. The only course that is fully open to all souls really desirous of serving Sri Krishna is to seek the worship of Sri Gaurashankar under the guidance of Sri Nityananda, who manifests himself and all his mercy to all without exception. So we've got no excuse. Nityananda's there for all of us, and he's prepared to give so much amazing shelter, so much mercy. Another thing that I wanted to share in this section of Jivadoya is these very beautiful, simple prayers that are worth remembering and chanting every morning upon rising, because they give a very wonderful benediction. Nityananda Varutendu Vasudha Pranavalava Janavi Jivata Pati Krishna Pramapada Prabhu Padmavati Sutta Srimam Satchinandana Povaja That person who recites his 12 most auspicious holy names of the moonlight Lord Nityananda Chandra every day upon rising in the morning, such a person becomes free of all difficulties and attains all their most cherished desires. Very soon, they become the object of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Beautiful. And it's very simple. Nityananda, Mati, would you like to read the Sanskrit and the translation of the 12 names?
Sure. Nityananda, he who embodies the eternal bliss, Navadurtendu, the moon of divine madness, Vasudha Pranavalava, the beloved of the life breath of Vasudha, Janavi Jivitapati, the husband in soothing Janavi with life, Krishna Prema Prada, he who bestows ecstatic love for Krishna, Prabhu, the Lord and Master of the devotees, Padmavati Sutta, dear son of Padmavati, Sriman, he of splendorous transcendental majesty, Sachi Nandana Purvaja, the elder brother of Mother Sachi's son, Bhavan Mata, he who is imagined in overwhelming ecstatic emotion, Jagat Trata, the Savior of the universe, Rakta Gora Kalebra, he whose complexion is golden tantric red.
Let's try it all together. Nityananda Vadu Sendu Vasada Prana Balava Janavi Jeeva Pati Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutta Sriman Satchinandana Pohaja Vamata Jidachasta Rasta Gora Kalevrana. The good ones are add to your prayer list. It's very sweet and simple. And yeah, it's very wonderful. Okay, so now I wanted to move on and have a look at Nityananda in relation to Vaishnava Seva.